Kicking off the day with those feel-good vibes, you're tuned in to the Morning Jukebox with DJ Raph the Mech. Good morning, Guantanamo Bay. Happy Friday. It is 9 o'clock, or at least it's 9:07, and I am DJ Raph the Mech, a.k.a. Petty Officer Raphael McCory, but I am not alone. I have the hospital with us, and we've got the pulse starting up.
So I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. I got so excited to be here.
We love that. We love that energy. So we've got our pediatrician here, and we've got, of course, our hospital PAO here. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. Can't complain. It's Friday.
Yes.
It's always a good day on a Friday, right? Great energy. We've made it to the end of the week. We've got the Gitmo Ruck tomorrow, which will be my first, the ninth. Gitmo, it's their ninth, but it's my first. Right. So looking forward to that. But looking forward to a lot of great information. And we're talking pediatrics today.
Yeah, my favorite topic.
So what exactly is going on? What is, I mean, it's the month, I know it's the month of the military child. So we've had quite a few events this past week.
We have, yeah. W.T. Sampson kicked things off with a week of recognitions and events for the kids at school. Yesterday, they hosted the career fair /college fair, and the hospital represented. We had great representation from the hospital.
Love that.
Preventive medicine, we had medical, surgical, nursing. We had labor and delivery. We had optometry. Can't forget optometry. Mm-hmm. Who else? I can't think who else. But we had such a great turnout from so many folks, and to see the kids get really interested in, you know, or like carrying around the what do they call it, the sympathy belly, right? Or the look on one of the students' faces as. As LTJG Randall was like demonstrating what happens when, you know, when a woman has contractions and like her eyes just bugged right out of her head. So very, very interesting, very amusing from my standpoint. but such a great opportunity to really, you know, promote the kids. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So happy month of the military child.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It seemed most appropriate to have her pediatrician in.
I love that. We're right on schedule for it. And what exactly, because I heard the grapevine. We're getting into the digital age, and we're talking about growth through the digital age. And I've always thought that was a very interesting topic. I mean, personally, I feel like the internet has really taken off. I mean, just because I was born in 1993, so like the internet was around, but like it really kicked off as I was a child. I was sort of raised into the internet, and I always wonder sometimes, you know, how we develop. We never really took the time to like pause. Things just keep, especially like if you think of iPhones, there's a new iPhone like every half year now, is it? Year or half year? Like,
I don't know, it's a lot.
We just keep updating and updating, and sometimes I wonder just how different minds have changed from 10 years to 20 years ago in regards to you know, growing in a digital age like that.
Yeah, definitely. And you're hitting on a topic that I covered in my kind of monthly information session. We started off with talking about the impact of screen time on children. And much to the chagrin of probably many parents, screens aren't going away. So we just have to talk about healthy digital habits. And it's not necessarily that screens are bad. It's just making sure there's open communication with your child about the impact of screens, and then also making time for other healthy habits. So making sure screens aren't getting in the way of appropriate nutrition, appropriate exercise, homework. and then always having that open line of communication between parents and children about what they're using screens for and what kind of digital media they're being exposed to, because the internet does have a lot of great information, but also can be a kind of dark hole of information as well.
Certainly a rabbit hole, yeah. Well, definitely this is a great topic to get into. Stay tuned. We've got some hits rolling for you, but we're also going to get more in deep into all of the techno child conversation that you could possibly imagine. I'm thinking of EDM.
Not that kind.
Maybe, because that's definitely my vibe too. But we'll get into all of that great information in a little bit. Don't go anywhere.
Oh my God. Radio Gitmo. What else could you possibly need to get through the day?
I see I'm too late. Got nothing in my brain. That's what people say. That's what people say. I go on too many dates. But I can't make them stay. At least that's what
Back with the Pulse, and we've got our pediatrician, Lieutenant Howard, here with us, and super glad to have you. Just to get a little background, how long have you been in the Navy, and what made you want to be, you know, a doctor, and why children?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So technically, I've been in the Navy for 7.5 years, so 4 years in the reserves during medical school. They have a health profession scholarship program. So 4 years there, and then now 3.5 active duty. Why did I want to be a doctor? That's a great question. So I think just the kind of impact that you can have on someone's life. I mean, I don't think there's very many professions where, you know, you get to interact with people and develop kind of like that continuity of care and see people go from sick to healthy and kind of have that direct impact on people, especially kids. So why pediatrics is... if you can make an impact very early in life, you can set them up for a healthy future. And kids also keep you on your toes all the time. So it keeps my job incredibly entertaining on a day-to-day basis. So yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Kids are definitely a ball of joy and energy and whimsy.
You never know what's going to come out
you
of their
never
mouth.
Know.
Exactly.
So in your technically 7 years, what has been your favorite command, or what is one of maybe your top experience that you've gotten to experience so far? Or maybe something that you did not expect that has really changed your views or your aspect on life?
Yeah, so in terms of commands, I've been at Walter Reed National Military Medical Center for residency, and then I've been here. Both of them have, you know, their unique challenges and great things about them. Particularly being here, I get to develop that, again, the continuity of care with people, and I get to see, you know, babies from when they're born to, you know, all their well child checks, which is amazing, and developing that relationship with families, which is great. And then I get to see the kids running around the necks or, you know, at the beach, and it's just kind of fun. Something that I didn't really expect but was really rewarding is during residency, I was part of the Operations Allies Refuge, which was when we had the Afghan refugees come from come to Walter Reed, and, you know, getting to take care of them was definitely not something that I expected, but was incredibly rewarding and a great learning experience.
Wow. That is incredible. I mean, it's crazy how it's over my head, but it's also so very exciting at the same time. It's a wonder of how you get to really put yourself out there, especially working at a hospital in that nature. I think it's always really fun, really interesting how in ways you really do make a difference in ways that aren't necessarily, I guess, on the field per se. You're not necessarily in danger, but you still have a way of really making a positive effect on everyone, especially the little ones, because that's honestly that when you're the smallest, that's when you're the most impressionable. So when you can make the greatest habits, greatest changes, things of that nature.
And the most vulnerable, you know, to have somebody that's advocating for them, that's, you know, advocating for their health. What an incredible place to hold, right, in their lives.
Yeah, definitely. And then just being like a positive role model, hopefully. I know we talked about how W.T. Sampson did the career fair. I've had a couple kids. I don't know if they were lying to me, but they said they want to be a pediatrician when they grow up. So, you know, if I can make a positive impact that way, that's awesome.
I have to ask that because obviously you're a pediatrician now. What did you? What was your when you were a young warthog? What was your dream? Apparently, I told my mom I wanted to be an astronaut.
So I went through a couple phases. So when I was growing up, I really wanted to be Mia Hamm. So I wanted to be a professional soccer player.
Okay, cool.
And then I watched a lot of Friends growing up. So I wanted to be a chef like Monica for a while. and then I'm not entirely sure how I went from professional soccer player to chef to doctor, but here we are. So
I love that.
Yeah. So do you enjoy cooking then in your, you
know, honestly, no. Which is the worst part is all of my friends and my husband will tell you that I am a terrible cook, so I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
Well, getting on into you know, child being a child and building those habits, things of that nature. My question for you is, what is maybe one of the habits or certain habits that you notice for little ones that maybe are super super good to build upon, or maybe they should curve a little bit, that maybe people aren't aware of or that pop up quite a lot to you that you explain to parents and things of that nature?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things that we hit on at Well Child Checks. I would say probably the thing that sets kids up the best for, you know, lifelong health is just talking about nutrition and exercise. So I don't like to use the word diet in my exam room because I think that has a negative connotation to it.
It has the word diet in it.
Yeah, exactly. And no one wants to think about their kid going on a diet. So I'm like, I talk about it like, how are you fueling your body to do the things that you want to do? So, you know, you want to go outside and play on the playground, you know. Do we think eating chips every day is the way to do that? Or do we think that maybe having like a healthy nutrition in terms of having fruits, vegetables, proteins, you know, drinking water over juice and that kind of stuff, that can set kids up incredibly for a healthy life in general.
And do you feel like the kids themselves are more receptive and more understanding of that as well?
Yeah, I mean, at least I hope so. At least.
one could only hope, but I know, like, when you're a kid, you're of course you're like, do I need it? But do I want it?
Yes, exactly. And you know, it's everything's in moderation, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not gonna sit there and say you need to eat, you know, 5 apples a day and, you know, never have any sort of juice or ice cream or anything like that. It's more just about like listening to your body and doing things in moderation, because also restricting heavily is not good either. So, you know, it's a balance that you strike. And that's kind of the conversation that I have often during my Well Child Checks is it's no food is necessarily bad. It's just how frequently are you doing it? And if you're eating these foods, what kind of things can or can't you do throughout the day?
All right. Well, stay tuned. We're going to get more deeply into the pediatrics and a lot more information for you on The Pulse. Don't go anywhere. Well, we are happily trekking along with the pulse this morning. Do you like how I did that?
I do.
We're getting deeper into, you know, technology and children and how that affects everything. It really affects every aspect of your life nowadays. And I'm not a parent, and I can't imagine being a parent with all these concerns, especially with technology. I mean, you really have the world at your fingertips. And I remember seeing about maybe a year or two ago, my cousin's son, he was like 3 or 4, and he could work an iPad like nobody's business. I was like, geez, I have to wonder just how different his mind processes even compared to mine in just a 20 to 30 year difference.
I think part of that is they don't have any fear of breaking it, right? Because they're just going to keep doing it until they figure out what it is that they want.
And they really know what it is, too.
Whereas, you know, like... Not to make fun of my mom, but like I always tease her, like I'll go old people and technology and like sing to her. And she just looks at me and, you know, sometimes will give me a dirty look. But it's funny when I find myself struggling with that, too. And I'll sing the little ditty to myself and make fun of me. But I think that's what it is. Maybe you've got insight that I think they're just not afraid to. It's like, if I break it, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, and like we had talked about earlier, you know, previous generations didn't grow up with technology. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just like embedded in the culture now. And like I said earlier, I mean, not all screen time is bad. It's mm-hmm. kind of like, how do you use screens as an educational tool? Because again, they're not going away. So,
right. You
know, how can we instill those healthy digital habits? So there's a lot of benefits that can come from screens. So mm-hmm. Kids can be exposed to a bunch of new ideas. They can become more aware of current events, whether that's, you know, good or bad. There's the opportunities for community participation or finding different groups that they kind of relate to. And they, especially for our like military connected youth, mm-hmm. which, you know, month of the military child, right? They can stay connected with friends and family, especially on a more isolated duty station like here.
Right.
Or, you know, if they're moving every 1 to 3 years, then they can stay connected with people at, you know, previous duty stations. So those are all the benefits of it. Mm-hmm. There are some risks of it, too. So kids that have increased screen time have been shown to have poor sleep, increased obesity risk. If they're younger, they can have delayed developmental milestones. And one of the things that I talk to parents a lot about is that increased screen time can also lead to increased emotional lability and aggression. Because as you can imagine, you know, if you're a child who, you know, touches a screen and gets immediate stimulation and can touch the screen again and it flashes up something that engages your attention, and then you go to, say, the beach or the next and you're not getting all of that stimulation, it can lead to, you know, having behaviors where they act out. So that's a lot of the things that I talk about with parents is, you know, screens aren't necessarily bad, but it's how are we using them? So in terms of like healthy digital habits that they can develop is co-viewing whatever media you're doing with your child. So, you know, I get a lot of questions about like different educational programs, and they're not necessarily bad, but do you use it as an opportunity to talk to your kids about, you know, there was an episode of like Bluey or Miss Rachel or something like that, where, you know, they talk about friendships. Like, that can be a great conversation starter for your kid. And then also in terms of screens in bedtime for like the older kids, limiting your screen time for an hour before bed, because that light can stimulate your body to stay awake. And then trying as much as possible to keep bedrooms media free so that kids aren't falling asleep to, you know, the TV on, or if they're having difficulty falling asleep, they don't just like roll over and scroll through social media and things like that.
No temptation if it's not in there.
Yes. Right. Yes, exactly. So going back to like an old school digital alarm clock or something like that can be helpful.
It makes me think of, because I play my Switch, and I play Wii Sports all the time, and I love the fact that it does like Netflix does, when if you like been idle, or if it thinks you've been idle too long, if you've been playing for like an hour, it sends you like a message like, hey, you've been playing for an hour, do you need to take a break? It's like their soft way of telling you, you should take a break.
Yeah.
You should probably take a break. Go do. I mean, obviously,
that's
like
great.
I'm playing tennis, so I'm still a little bit active, but like realistically speaking, I should go do something else with my time and at least make sure that I'm actually active, taking a break and, you know, getting something else done as well with my day.
Yeah.
And so I think that I also know that I think it's even for adults, it's better to like not sleep with your phone on the bed or whatnot. Like, because apparently I think like the waves of the phone can like affect your sleep. And I'm not so certain, but I did notice that keeping it away from me also forces me to get up when the alarm clock goes off,
exactly.
Which is great for trying to be on time at work.
Dual purpose.
So yeah, there's a lot of, and I think it's really important, because balance is definitely key for the thing. I think it's easy to go from one extreme to the other. No technology or all technology, or, you know, we'll use this to help you learn, but then there's not much parent involvement. And then you really do miss out on the teaching aspect and the personable aspect of family time.
Yes.
With that, so finding that balance is extremely important.
Yes, exactly. And that's kind of what I hit on as well, is that screen time shouldn't get in the way of other things. So like like your connections that you make online should not get in the way of interpersonal connections with like school friends or family. And it shouldn't get in the way of healthy exercise habits and getting your homework done and interacting with your family at dinner time, all that kind of stuff. So it can definitely be a nice adjunct, but it shouldn't be basically crowding out other healthy habits.
Right. And when we first came in, I know we were talking about how AI or ChatGPT was helping with even the slightest of things like recipes and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a super creative way to help you build upon life skills that you already need, as opposed to taking over those life skills. So I find that very interesting of a way to progress and to be mindful of, you know, just how much you use technology and the ways that which you use it, because it is in fact a tool.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like, technology isn't going away. So if we can teach our kids how to use it appropriately, I mean, they can get a lot of things done with technology. And, you know, if they're using technology in a way that, you know, decreases their time spent on certain tasks, like, you know, finding recipes or things like that, then they have more time for going out and like exercising and things like that. So, you know, it's not all necessarily bad. And I think, again, like we were talking about with healthy nutrition habits, it's everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
You mentioned earlier about being able to keep in touch with friends or family. That's so important here. We're remotely located or very isolated out here. And when my daughter is able to keep in touch with her friends from back home, or the friends that she made here that leave island, I mean, I know how it feels for me to see her have that connection, be able to reach out, talk to them. It's incredible.
It is.
You know, that long term, like, how much is too much, right? You know, if you start seeing those changes in behavior, I remember that when my daughter was little, how I'd see differences in her behavior. If she'd been on screen time, how she may be a little more difficult to deal with afterward, as opposed to if she hadn't had screen time that day, she was generally like less irritable and just more herself.
Yep. And medical research studies definitely have shown that as well. It's incredibly important for them to maintain those relationships. But like I was speaking about earlier, it's constant check-ins with your child about how they're utilizing the screen time and how they're interacting with it. So if you have noticed that because they're on their screens more, they're acting out a little bit more, or they're not focusing at school, or they're pulling away from in-person interactions, that is something that might need to be a little bit of a reality check to talk to your kid about that kind of stuff before, they pull away too much.
So what about as they move into adolescence and at school, how they're using more technology during their school day, right? They're using it for research. When they come home, if you've got these standards of, no more than 2 hours a day, they've already blown their limit, because they were using it for school purposes. Do you have any recommendations for how do you manage that?
Yeah, so there's general recommendations. Like, yes, we don't love kids to have more than 2 hours of screen time in a day, but I recognize that we use a lot of technology for good. So again, it's having that conversation about, you're coming home from school and you want to hop on some sort of screen. Okay, well, what are we using that screen for? Uh-huh. Are we doing like educational activities? Is it for homework? Or are we just kind of brain rotting in front of TV until bedtime, and we're not interacting with our family members at home, or we're not going out and like moving our body around and getting our heart rate up and things like that through exercise. So again, I try not to have like super strict guidelines. It's mainly just, again, like frequent check-ins with your child and, if they're using screens, what are they using them for and why are they using it that way?
It's very interesting because now that you think, I'm imagining myself like as a kid, because most of my stuff was on a screen at school, at least, especially when you get into like high school and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You're using a lot of a screen, but it's for work. So then when you're coming home and you're thinking, I need to be away from the screen, but I want to like maybe relax or go on a game and talk with other friends through gaming or whatnot. But now I've got the idea of being on a screen from one screen to another for different reasons.
Yeah.
But I've still got the issue of being on the screen for a continued amount of time. Like, what do you do with that?
Yeah.
But I guess maybe breaking it up into maybe going out for a little bit, maybe an hour for getting some outside or connecting with family and members and whatnot, and finding what works for you.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting, because even when I think about here, I mean, realistically, I'm on a radio, but I'm looking three screens are looking me in the face right now.
Right.
Now and then I'm on a screen for most of the day, and then I go home and their screen's there. So it's a very interesting slope or
yes,
a teeter-totter for lack of a better term.
As a parent, you're so under scrutiny. Right? Because your kids, it's the do as I say, not as I do. But, at a certain age, you have to realize, my child's watching me. And if I'm telling them you can't do screen time after school, or you can't do whatever parameters you're putting in place, if you're not demonstrating those healthy habits, it's really hard to enforce it. And so I try to be cognizant of that. I fail a lot of days. I'm sure a lot of us do, but I'm not afraid to say I fail at that, because if a message comes in that has to do with something I was working on during the day, or then you're done for the day, but you want to catch up with your friends, just like she may want to, or the child may want to. It's certainly a balancing act, and striking the right balance.
Yeah, definitely, and that's. You really hit on, like, parents can act as an incredible role model for their kids. So you can model that kind of behavior. So, we get home from school, or you get home from work. Okay, let's go on a, 20-minute walk to walk the dogs, or let's go to the pool, or let's go do a fitness class or something at the gym. I know that, we're limited in terms of the things that we can do here, but you act as a role model as a parent every day. So if you are yourself getting out of, I'm not going to use my screen at this current moment because I'm going to go exercise, that's a great way to bring your child along. Obviously, if it's a safe activity,
right.
We don't need any like 5-year-olds bench pressing at the gym, but
that'd be really impressive.
Yes.
Maybe not the healthiest thing, but
maybe they'll
really
use the 5-pound dumbbell.
Yeah.
That'll be their bench press. All right. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back with more.
Oh,
So there has been a lot of information, a lot of good talking points, and we're wrapping up with The Pulse. But I know there's a series coming up for the Month of the Military Child, just to get some information out. So, ma'am, could you just fill us in on what we have available to us coming up?
Yeah, definitely. So I'm hosting an online monthly informational series. So a lot of the information that you heard today was from my last talk on screen time and the impact on children. The next talk is going to be Monday at 2000. It's online via Google Meet, and the information is on the hospital Facebook page. It's titled Meals Time Without Mayhem. So it talks about picky eating, and it's kind of targeting toddlers and how we can deal with picky eating, different resources, and how you can establish those healthy eating habits. It typically lasts about 30 minutes. It's at 8 p.m., so it allows for you to get the kids ready for bed, tucked in, and then you can tune in. It's very informal, allows for questions either submitted ahead of time via a Google form, or you can ask me in real time. I'm more than happy to answer questions. I started the series mainly because I know that here we are definitely a little bit isolated with fewer resources, and There's a lot of information that we cover in well-child checks, but you know they're only 30 minutes long, so a lot of parents walk out and are like, oh, I wish I had asked this question, or you know, there just wasn't enough time to talk in depth about things.
Right.
So that's kind of what spurred this monthly information session.
That's fantastic, awesome. Right? Because I know every time, like anytime we leave, I'm like, oh, shoot, I meant to ask this. So
I just know I could have used that as a child, so I find it hilarious. I'm still working on my eating habits now, but I'm happy to say that I've gotten a lot better.
Yeah. And like we were talking about screen time earlier, and I know that there's a lot of information. And so when you Google picky eating for toddlers, you get a ton of resources. Mm-hmm. And so kind of my job as a pediatrician is to whittle down into like high quality evidence-based information and kind of distill it down, because again, the internet has so much information. So how do you know as a parent what information to trust, especially when you can get a lot of conflicting information on the internet? So my hope is that this acts as a good resource for parents and yeah, gives them a lot of good information.
That's fantastic.
Awesome. So going off of that, just to fill in, if we wanted to get in contact with you, if any parents wanted to get in contact with you, how would they go about doing that?
In terms of the information session or just in general?
Just in general.
Yeah. So our general hospital line, you can call the front desk and schedule an appointment. I luckily have a lot of availability. So if parents have any questions about anything, I'm more than happy to spend an appointment chatting about, like, more in depth about screen time, you know, temper tantrums, potty training. It doesn't have to be within a well-child exam. So one of the blessings about being here is that I do have the opportunity to see kids frequently in clinic and have that availability. So if there are any parents out there listening, feel free to schedule an appointment. I'm more than happy to chat.
Well, I know one of the services that we're promoting at the hospital is the telehealth. Do you take part in that too, or is that not within your specialty?
Yeah, so I can absolutely, like, if parents feel more comfortable or, you know, have scheduling conflicts, I'm more than happy to do a lot of conversations over the phone. There's obviously some things that lend itself better to being a telehealth virtual appointment versus I can't do a well-child check over over the phone. Mm-hmm. But if it's questions about, you know, again, like screen time, temper tantrums, that kind of stuff, I'm more than happy to do that. Just when you call to schedule, just ask for a virtual appointment.
Awesome. All right. Well, is there anything else that we wanted to get out today?
I don't think so. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is
so
fun.
Awesome to have you guys. Looking forward to our next time on The Pulse.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
There's a whole lot of people in the house trying to smoke with a yak in your mouth.
Good enough.
And we back outside. You said you outside, but you ain't that outside. Worldwide hoodie with the mask outside. In case you forgot how we act outside.
We had a fun time on the Pulse today with Lieutenant Howard and Ms. McAmy, our hospital PAO. A lot of great information. And remember, she's hosting her next series next Monday at 8 p.m. through Teams. So if you want to get into that, go on the hospital's Facebook and you can check out all that information. Just a reminder also, we have Safe Ride Gitmo here tonight and tomorrow to keep you safe. After, you know, you've had a good time out on those tiki streets, you can call 904-601-7426. Once again, that number is 904-601-7426. They'll pick you up, no questions asked, and get you home safely. Or even if you've been at the, you know, seeing one of the four movies that we have tonight, they'll pick you up from there too and get you home safely. No questions asked from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. Or if maybe you're looking for a chance to volunteer, you can send them a message on their Safe Ride Gitmo Facebook page or send them an email at saferidegitmo@gmail.com. That's it. We've made it to the weekend. It is Friday. Hopefully you have some great things planned. I'll see a lot of your lovely faces out on the Ruck tomorrow. Remember, that's going to be downtown Lyceum at 6 a.m. for checkout, check-in, and starts at 6:30. Make sure you bring lots of hydration and get yourselves ready. Get some good night's sleep. Have a fantastic night, or fantastic weekend, rather. Be prepared because DJ Genesis and DJ Congo will be in later this afternoon to give you all the hits and updates that you love. Have a fantastic weekend.
I'm taking shots in here. You want one?
don't nobody start a fight. Yeah. Cheers to the freaking weekend. Drinks are up. Yeah, yeah. Oh, let the demo song sing. Drinks are up. Yeah, yeah. Don't let the bastards get you down.
Get it, you know. walk by you. You're the sunflower. I think your love would be too much, or you'll be left in the dust unless I stuck by you. You're the sunflower.